ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
Brought to you by the power of the Journey into Comics Network. This is the Journey into Comics Podcast, the show that's 100% dedicated to everything nerd. With your hosts, the Podfather, Nate Phillips, the Podmaster, Brandon Stone, and the Journey into Comics Network stepdad, Tyler McLaughlin.
Time to make the chimichangas.
30 seconds.
Hey.
Excellent!
Finally. What did you do?
Oh, my God.
And here we go.
Can somebody tell me what kind of a world we live in where a man dressed up as a bat gets all of my press? This town needs an enema.
What on earth is that?
It's a journey!
What's up, true believers? Welcome back to yet another episode of Journey into Comics. Today, it's Journey into Comics 325. I am your host, Nate, and today joining me, welcome back once again, my friend, the greatest stepdad of the entire Journey into Comics network. We know him. We love his burliness. He wants to punch you in your fucking face on a daily basis if you're not ready to rock and roll in the world. Welcome back, TY. How's it going, brother?
We, over the weekend, Friday afternoon, I watched I watched one of the best episodes of TV that I've ever watched in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the most recent episode of The Mandalorian. And because of that, above all else, because of that, I'm doing okay.
That's good to hear, man. I obviously, in this crazy, insane, and I feel like we're broken fucking record in 2020, but we're almost done with 2020. I can't believe I can say that, but we're at this point, like, what, 20 some odd days away, 25 days away or some shit like that?
Yep, 25 days till the 31st.
So we're almost out of the woods here. Hopefully 2021 brings us something better. I don't think anybody expected 2020 to be such horse shit. So,
it's a start. It's the end of a decade and the beginning of a new one.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Everyone thought that it was going to be, I don't know. Regardless of what anybody thought, nobody planned for it being what it was. No. So, I mean, it's just sad. You know, you look at, especially in towns like, you know, where you grew up, I would imagine small business gone. I know personally a lot of small businesses here in Lafayette where, you know, a good portion of the network lives. There's been a lot of businesses that have either closed their doors entirely or they've totally changed the way that they do business. You know, and that can be a good and a bad thing.
It just depends, though, because it's the weirdest situation. And I was actually driving the other day thinking about this. I was doing a delivery and I was like, man, it's fucked up, because if you now, knowing what we know now, I feel like in my brain meets, if I was ever to think about creating a business that I wanted to sustain, my first question, if some shit hit the fan, would it be considered essential?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you're a food restaurant type place and you can get your shit together and figure out how to switch to doing the Grubhub or however to deliver your food and no contact and whatnot, small businesses can be thriving right now in some manners. But there's certain businesses that just, they're already barely holding on. So when you add a pandemic on top of that, it just doesn't make things better. It makes it harder for them to even breathe, you know.
Right.
V shared a meme with me the other day, and I just want to share it here because it was so fucking funny. But it said, man, I miss raw dog and air. You know?
Yeah.
Just getting some fresh air outside
just
in the world.
Just fucking fresh air, man.
Just going when you're in a store, you know, it's so strange.
But you know, there's a, like I've said it a bunch, you know, here and there about like, as negative as 2020 is, we do need to focus more than ever on the positives. I'm sorry, but like, this isn't me bragging because it's going to sound that way, but I haven't gotten sick this year at all.
Yeah.
Not one time.
And it's a testament to being diligent, man.
Well, it's the fact that, you know, I'm doing my due diligence and saying, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I wash my hands extra, and, you know, not obsessive compulsive where you're washing it every 15 minutes or whatever, but, you know, before I eat, I wash my hands. When I get done eating, I wash my hands. You know, if I shake your hand, sorry, before I do anything else, I'm going to wash my hands. Bam. And, you know, regardless of who you are, I don't care who you are. Everyone's gotten lackadaisical with that at some point in their life. Like, you know, you get some fucking dirt on your hands. Oh, I'll wash it. I'll wash my hands in a little bit. You know, I just touched my eye just now. I should wash my hands right now. You know,
you're like, God damn it, I need to get up mid podcast. Like, I don't think we would even be mad at you, TY, if you got up to do the hand wash. You'd be like, go for it, bro.
But, you know, say whatever you want about the masks. You know, it floors me that there are still people that believe, you know, it's a conspiracy and that it's not real. And, you know, I entertained some of the fucking the pandemic conspiracy.
Warner Brothers is going to release everything on HBO Max in theaters in 2021. Jamie Foxx comments on the
sign of I'm not even going to say an intelligent adult. I'm just going to say a functioning adult is to get an opinion, get irrefutable evidence or fact that either contradicts or validates your opinion, and then adjusting or compensating from there. Like, it's, people are dying. I know people that are dying. I know people that have died because of COVID.
It's not bullshit, man.
It's not bullshit, you know?
And I think that's actually, like, I don't think you even meant to do this, but this is a beautiful transition into something I wanted to discuss today, because have you seen all the craziness that's happened with the Letitia Wright thing? Do you know what I'm talking about at all?
Man, I saw some really, really clickbaity fucking headlines yesterday or the day before, especially with the stuff coming out with the actress that plays Cara Dune. I can't remember her name.
That's
Gina Carano. Sorry. Yeah. Yep. Gina Carano. I feel like they're just trying to pick people out of Hollywood and say, well, you're a transphobe now. And I don't know. I didn't even want to give it the time of day because of the way the title was written. But I mean, obviously inform me here.
So she essentially posted a COVID-19 video that was from one right-wing conspiracy group. I'm not sure exactly who was to be in charge of it. And I think her thing was not, and this is why I want to talk about it, her goal was not to say, I want to spread conspiracy as much and she even apologizes later, and I'll read the apology tweet. But I think her posting that was like, what do we believe? What do we not believe? This vaccine could be a bad thing. We've already had so much uncertainty now. What do we do other than look at all the facts and form opinions? And sure, looking at a right-wing thing, you can't see a lot of facts there. But this got so bad, she deleted her entire Twitter. She doesn't have Twitter anymore, like deactivated it. It's off. But she did make an apology thing saying exactly that. And it said, let me pull up the exact quote here. It said, my intention was not to hurt anyone. My only intention of posting the video was raising my concerns with what the vaccine contains and what we are putting in our bodies, nothing else. They continued to press her about the video and what the video had. She said, if you don't conform to popular opinions, but ask questions and think for yourself, you get canceled. So she's essentially saying that she thinks she's on the brink of being canceled. But she's one of those actresses, I just don't see her buying into that right wing or that alternative mindset that this is a hoax and this isn't real. That was like really kind of shocking to me.
See, I think it just depends. Like that's a habit it's a bad habit that we as as hopeful individuals and fans of popular culture, we get very attached to these celebrities. And, you know, we, you know, I mentioned the good things that have come out of 2020. I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is that you don't jump to somebody's defense until you have all the facts. Because there's been a lot of people who, because of their image, you know, we've been kind of duped. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to nail Letitia Wright to the wall by any means, because I read the title as very clickbaity. I didn't want to read too much into it because I haven't seen anything of that nature. What I can say is Skylar and I have talked at length that if, say in March, they push out a COVID vaccine, we will not be getting that COVID vaccine. I'm sorry. If anyone is offended by that, not doing it. I'm not getting the first round of a vaccine that hasn't had legitimate human trials for the
mass market, man. I mean,
the 3 to 6 years that it's supposed to.
It's like you have limited trials within these tests saying it's 100%, but you're not looking at long-term effects of it. You're not looking at the downside of it. You know, they've said, here's the thing, and this is, I mean, I know we're like kind of off the rail, but we're still staying on course here. They said that we're going to be having to have cards now as adult carrying humans or humans that have when we've been vaccinated for COVID-19 because of the uncontrolledness of what's going on right now. And then you hear like, oh, they want to give first responders and old people the vaccine first, people most at risk, people who are on the front lines, and then the elderly. That's going to be the real test. If we start seeing like nurses and shit drop, you ain't have a cow's chance in hell for me to even consider taking something like that. But if things seem good and in like April, early May, maybe we've not heard any craziness happening out of this and everybody seems cool, yeah, it's time, man. Let's just know we're better and get this thing off our backs.
And we need to point out too that there's no guarantee. You know, the Trump administration is quick to say every day that, you know, we've got a vaccine coming in 3 weeks. You know, the number changes every day. And I don't think if we were on the opposite end of the spectrum where it was the Biden administration, we were rolling into the Trump administration, you know, they would be pushing that vaccine just as hard as the current administration is. So I'm not trying to dog anybody here. It's just, there's so much uncertainty. You know, this is the perfect example of one of the reasons why our healthcare system has failed, you know, not just in our lifetime, basically in U.S. history. It's just a disaster. Excuse me. And the best way to protect the elderly right now is just to not be around them. If they don't require hands-on care, don't. Just leave them alone. You know, for Thanksgiving, I was going to go pick up my grandma, bring her here, feed her basically, and then take her home. And her and I talked, and it's like, you know what? It's not worth the risk. It's not, obviously, you know, we're young, but anything can happen. You know, there's so much uncertainty. It's not worth the risk. So, you know, last week when we did the show, I talked about how this is the first Thanksgiving that I've ever enjoyed my whole life. For the first time in my adult life, I look forward to Christmas.
Yeah, because it's kind of the same parameters and rules. You're not going to have to drag the girls around the fucking globe to see people and, you know, try to make merry in a situation that's just already stressful, you know. I said this to V. I said this on the podcast, you know, a couple weeks ago or last week even. We're going to know what Thanksgiving did to our country in about a week and change. Really, we're really gonna have an idea when those numbers really start to jump even more from people who didn't do like we did and followed the guidelines or try to stay away from people or, you know, limit how many people you're around. It's just insanity. And then to go back to the Letitia Wright thing, there's already the backlash of like recast her in Black Panther. It's like, Black Panther has already suffered enough fucking loss. Leave right. it alone. She made a mistake. She's obviously very remorseful for the mistake. She deleted her Twitter with hundreds of thousands, probably millions of followers, and that's something you don't do lightly. So what comes out in the wash from this? I simply don't know. I mean, you know, we're supposed to be July of 2021, the beginning of filming for Black Panther, so we're going to know soon enough, I mean, at least what they're going to do. I just don't think that one anti-vax tweet that might have been, again, just playing the devil's advocate of, like, we don't know until we know, is enough to cancel Letitia Wright. I think that's a very right. foolish thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, on the flip to that, there's a couple Marvel things to talk about. Did you hear about the deleted Sony video on one of their foreign channels?
I did not.
This is pretty interesting, and I'm kind of excited to break it down and talk about it here because, and I'll pull up the actual article that I got this from to talk about it some more. A Spanish-based Sony Pictures company that releases videos on an official Sony channel, Latino America, published earlier this week a video called, are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
The Three Spider-Man Together. The video has since been deleted. But,
of course,
this is the headline from the title card. Translated, of course, because it was in Spanish. Who is your favorite Spider-Man? You don't have to choose in the Marvel multiverse. Anything can happen. In Spider-Man 3, you will quite possibly see everyone. Yes, three Peter Parkers saving the world. That's pretty fucking huge, actually. I mean,
especially after they, you know, after the last couple of months, they've been very quick to say that's not happening.
Well, yeah. And I mean, even so much as I saw, like, Zendaya got pressed by somebody, like, and she said, I'm not going to confirm or deny anything. I'm not saying shit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of possibilities. I will say, I think there is a missed opportunity. I don't know if it's a missed opportunity, but I feel like you've got the Ned Leeds character there. You're going to introduce the multiverse. That kind of makes sense. But why are we not getting a clone Ben Reilly Spider-Man to also play in this world when it would absolutely make sense with everything else they've kind of built on?
I agree. I've thought for a long time, you know, obviously I don't think that anybody expected Miles Morales to blow up in popularity the way that he did. Obviously it's fantastic, and all the iterations of Spider-Man are great. Male, female, person of color, it doesn't matter. All Spider-Man is cool. So, you know, it's a massive testament to the character that in any variety, you know, they can be the most popular, if not one of the most popular icons in you know, basically comic book history. You know, we've talked on this show about how maybe, you know, let the video game side of it kind of play out, and let's not push the Miles Morales envelope as far as live action. That's not something we'd necessarily need, you know, even by, let's say, 2023. Do we really need Tom Holland and then, you know, whoever is going to play Miles Morales, and then, you know, the whole shebang? I would really like to see them double down and maintain the Into the Spider-Verse stuff, because it took everybody by surprise. And it just felt pure. You know what I mean? It was just, I didn't have to look at it through a certain lens to make it really good. It was just really good.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like, I feel like if you continue to introduce new versions or new iterations of Spider-Man, rather than, you know, just forcing the one that everybody likes at this moment into something new, I think that will really be their ticket to the golden goose, I guess, so to speak, would be to bring Spider-Woman in. Yeah, why not?
I think that's all, you know, probably down the road in the pipeline of things they want to do. But I just kind of sitting here as you were explaining that where and when they need to do certain things. I got a really interesting thought wave of just like, do you think Sony is looking at what Marvel's done and they're like just like combing over everything, going, look at all the money they made, look at all the right decisions they've made, look at how people are jubilant and excited to always see Marvel movies at this point because they course corrected sometimes and weren't afraid to think outside the box, that they are setting up a Into the Spider-Verse movie that is live action that will not be a Marvel Studios property, but a Sony property that with the faith and the work of the Marvel Universe, people buy into as a way for them to say, look, Sony, we're going to throw you this fucking softball, but I swear to God, if you guys don't crush it into the next millennia like you did Into the Spider-Verse, which we know they can handle Spider-Man, that's a thing. They handled Spider-Man amazingly with Into the Spider-Verse, the animated feature. So give that same, not the same story, I don't want the same story, but like take that same heart and that same grit that you had in that and push it to a live-action thing where you could introduce a live-action Miles Morales. Maybe he's not Spider-Man yet. Maybe he's in the last 15 minutes of the movie and it's just some random kid that gets saved, but it's the start. And then you can push him back over to the MCU and have him become your Spider-Man.
See, I have two, like, two distinct things that I love about that, but also I hate about it.
Sure.
I'll go with the negative stuff first, is I think the problem with doing live action Into the Spider-Verse type film anytime in the near future is every one of us that loves the animated Into the Spider-Verse is going to be like, well, you know what? I loved this one. This one better be as good. And then, you know, we're going to be looking at it through that lens that's going to make it a little bit more difficult to appreciate. And, you know, whereas we should be like appreciating it, we'll be too critical. And, you know, it might spoil the bunch, or the, you know, one bad egg spoils the bunch, you know, the whole totally. Spiel. But secondly, let's go back in time a little bit to the end of the Last Jedi, right? We're sitting in the theaters and, you know, we just had the Red Room and, you know, plot development and there's fighting and oh my God, Snoke just got killed. What the hell is happening? And Rey takes off with the Falcon and that whole shebang. And then we see a little kid on a planet, you know, the casino planet, and he uses the Force to grab a broom. And we see, you know, the shooting star, and then the movie ends. That, putting Miles Morales in the last 15 minutes of a movie, you know, kind of feels like that. I hate to say it, you know, but at the end of that movie, every one of us was like, okay, oh my God, who is this kid? And how is he related? And, you know, it's just, I don't know.
No, I absolutely agree with that, because adding him in the last 15 minutes maybe doesn't make sense. Maybe he is a part of the movie. He's not a critical part of the movie. And then maybe in the last like 10 or so minutes is where he gets bit and his story is just a side ancillary thing that sort of weaves into the other thing. I'm not sure. You know, we're obviously like fan booking the possibilities of what they would do with the live action. I really agree with you, though. Having live action Spidey Into the Spider-Verse right next to, within like 4 to 5 years, maybe even 6 or 7 years at that point, up against a very solid, you know, Oscar-winning animated feature Into the Spider-Verse, it's a tough task. And you are going to compare the two and say, I think this one's better, I think this one's better, they're both trash, you know, whatever your opinion is. To talk really quickly about The Last Jedi, what the fuck, man? We never got the payoff for that fucking kid. Like,
that's what I mean.
Ever.
You know, what if Sony were to introduce Miles Morales in that fashion, and then 5 years down the road, you know, that movie maybe didn't sit as well as they thought it should with the audience and with critics, and You know, that is what ruins Miles Morales for us. And then, you know, 5 years down the road, we still haven't gotten the payoff for that character. That's what I was trying to get at is, you know, they might burn the bridge a little soon, or they might put the cart ahead of the horse. That's a better analogy today. I'm all about analogies and metaphors today.
About it. I love analogies and metaphors, especially a good one. Here's a not so good metaphor or analogy, but will we, this is sticking with Marvel for a little bit. They are in a little bit of a panic mode over at Disney, I think. And obviously they're doing a lot of things right. We're really stoked on what's going on with Disney Plus. But if you're looking at the landscape of 2020 and what's coming into 2021, you still have this lingering question of why the fuck do we not have Black Widow at the point where now HBO Max, and this is the headline that kind of ties into everything.
HBO I was getting Max ready to bring this up.
Has said, fuck it. If you have HBO Max, you get all the movies that we're going to release in theaters next year within like a couple days of them or the same day that they come out. You're going to get them for at least a month to watch, and then it'll be video on demand type things, and eventually it'll go and be a Blu-ray or whatever. So they are literally saying every major Warner Brothers feature film coming out next year, starting with Wonder Woman 84. You've got Suicide Squad, the James Gunn feature coming out, the Godzilla Kong movie, for fuck's sake, coming out. These are just a couple off the top of my head. There's too many to even list the amount of movies that are coming out next year that they're just like, homies, you guys hooked it up. We have an amazing subscription service. Everybody loves what we're doing here. We keep getting it right over here at HBO Max. So my snapback to this is, do you believe next week before Christmas or so, we will be getting the official announcement that soon Black Widow will be coming to Disney Plus?
Man, I hope so. Man, there are so many uncertainties with the film industry, you know, especially moving forward, because I don't see any reason why post coronavirus, if we ever get there, hopefully sooner rather than later, I don't see any reason why the film industry can't modify and adjust, you know, their identity a little bit and restructure the industry and make it a little bit better for everybody to survive and stick around. Because, you know, obviously if they don't adapt and evolve a little bit, then they're totally going to go away.
Or we're not going to have any theaters with which for people to even see the movies they're making in Hollywood, because they will not exist.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. So I think that, you know, HBO Max, I mean, they kicked the door down and were like, look, you're going to take it and you're going to like it. And we were all like, God, HBO Max, God, I already love it. You know, it's like, I think here's the kicker. If HBO Max would have said they're releasing exclusively on HBO Max and not in the theaters at all, then Disney would have had to have said, okay, well, January 10th, Black Widow, drop it on Disney Plus. The fact that they said it'll be both, that might hold out a little bit of hope for Black Widow to maybe release in the spring. It's hard to say, though. I don't really understand what Disney's play is here, or why they're waiting. Because I can tell you right now, if Black Widow would have released 5 months ago, here's something that I expect that we'll get in the next, you know, year or two. So you know how with Hulu and Netflix and all the YouTube TV and all the streaming platforms, you can pay a premium and not have any ads.
Yeah.
I totally expect the platforms like Disney Plus, like HBO Max, to say every other movie you watch, there's going to be a 15-second ad somewhere.
Or pay, you know, an additional $3.99 and not have ads at all.
And that's where I think if Disney had an ad revenue associated with Disney Plus, I think they would have released Black Widow on the platform a long time ago, because that's how they would recoup their money. If they just, there's no ad revenue from releasing it straight to Disney Plus. You know, they saw what a mistake it was to release Mulan directly to the service. So I don't know. It's hard to say, really, I guess, as long-winded as that was.
Let me really quickly throw this at you. Here are the list of some of those movies that are coming out, and then I'm going to circle back to what we were just talking about. But I just found the little... So we already said The Suicide Squad, but The Matrix 4 is one of those movies they're going to be free on HBO Max. Dune will be free on HBO Max. The new Space Jam, the new Mortal Kombat movie, Godzilla vs. Kong, obviously, and a lot more. That's just like the main ones that they were talking about. But you said What's Disney doing? What are they thinking? What's going on? Well, I think we're going to find out soon enough. As you and I are recording this, it's the 6th. That means for Facebook watchers, you're checking this out on the 6th tonight. For those who aren't on the Facebook lands, you're listening on the 7th and beyond. Thursday, December 10th, the House of Mouse has a presentation set for their investors with a Investors Day presentation. It's going to be streamed from the Disney site, meaning it's not just private. They're going to be streaming it starting at 3:30 on Thursday. It'll last around 4 hours and will be focusing nearly exclusively on the direct-to-consumer division. There is several different things they're rumored to be happening, one being the possible merger of Disney Plus with Hulu, meaning it will no longer be Hulu is even a thing. It will be you get Disney Plus. There's a section where Hulu goes, and so on.
Can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah, please.
So here, this is something that you and I talked about at the announcement of Disney Plus, when they said there's you know basically three options. You can have Disney Plus, Disney Plus with Hulu, or you can have Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. Why didn't they just release Hulu and Disney Plus bundled together in the beginning? Because I think, you know, the massive subscriber base that they gathered from the get-go, I think you would have had a lot more people, if that can even really be a thing, more people that would subscribe to Disney Plus. I think you probably would have got the people that were the holdouts right from the beginning.
Absolutely. So, because they would have seen the value in making that switch.
So what do you think that has changed for that to possibly be, you know, just bundled in for whatever reason now?
I think they're looking at the long term. And here's something that I noticed. I noticed that there are a lot of crossovers with having Hulu. A lot of times I see that they have Marvel movies all on Hulu. So it's just like, okay, so that's already cross-pollinated. And then you look at some of the other movies, some of the holiday movies are cross-pollinated. So, okay, we're getting it double. The only difference is sometimes you can't see a movie unless you have the Hulu Live TV, and other times you can't see it at all. It's weird. I don't know.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Disney say with the acquisition of 20th Century Fox that the R-rated titles that Disney now owns, or R-rated projects and material that Disney now owns, would not be on the Disney Plus service, that they would utilize Hulu for those items. I mean, that tracks, right? I remember reading that.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just kind of confusing because it's like, the word is escaping me, but it's got like, you've got this architecture where your first party Disney stuff goes here and all the child friendly stuff goes here. And then anything that you acquire and adult focused stuff goes here. Why would you like be steadfast? And that's what you're going to have, and then, you know, 6 months later, merge the shit.
Well, I think that they're planning also for the bigger future. You know, we talked about this last time, Daredevil back officially with Marvel, other mm-hmm. properties back with Marvel. From what I understand, that also might mean those properties will come off Netflix. like they won't stay exclusives. I don't know if that's like official. Don't quote me here or anything, but because I saw somewhere there's a rumor that those properties will end up on Hulu. So it's just like, to me, it's like this. What are you going to do? You going to have the Disney Plus Hulu app or something? You click it. Do you want to access your Disney? Do you want to access your Hulu shit? I mean, that's a little bit extra.
Mm-hmm.
If you find a clever way to do it where it's not jumbled, because there's a lot of titles on Hulu that have nothing to do with Disney or Star Wars,
right,
or Marvel or Nat Geo. So you've got to find a way to tie them all in together. And look at the hub. The hub on HBO Max is how you do it. They aren't all the same kind of fucking thing, but they've got the hub where there's a lot of different options of stuff that are the major mm-hmm. options people want to look for. Do that. Have classic movies as a section. Have, you know, I don't know. There's options.
Well, and to add a little bit more, I mean, if HBO Max is the poster child of how to do it, I think personally that Amazon Prime is the poster child of how not to do it. You know, the Prime architecture and user interface is so hard to navigate. Like, if you're a Prime customer, you know, even if you go to the section Prime for you or whatever, where all the shit's supposed to be included in the you know, the subscription that you pay already for the yearly cost, half the shit in there isn't even, you have to pay to watch it. So, like, total opposite ends of the spectrum there. And then you've got, you know, Disney Plus with at the beginning, you know, you and I talked about how hard it was to navigate, you know, and how you go through three layers of shit and then you open up like a whole new list of stuff that you can watch. And that of course has improved a little bit, I think, at least for me.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, Netflix has been, they're still driving the 57 Chevy. They've never even put new tires on it. Nothing has changed. So I don't know. It's hard to say. The whole media as a service thing still makes me so uncomfortable. Just because I don't like the freedom that those entities have to just say, you know what, that movie that you've watched 57 times since you've had the service, it's not going to be there anymore.
Not tomorrow. No, it won't.
It won't. And I don't like that. So,
and I, you know, and that's something that we definitely can touch on too, because the whole concept of streaming rights and how, like, this is really weird. You have Warner Brothers, who owns DC Comics, mm-hmm. who owns the DC movie studio, who is not always going to have all the Batman movies on HBO Max because they're going to go other places temporarily. It's like, lock those things the fuck in for good. You have the service. Don't give those up to... That's like Little Nicky. For the longest time, Little Nicky was on HBO Max. I was jamming it. I was jazzed. Then it just disappears.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it appeared on Netflix. And I was like, oh, it's Little Nicky. I'll watch it immediately. It's one of my favorite
right.
movies. You know? Popeye's chicken's fucking awesome.
It's well, as far as like Warner Brothers and HBO and all that, like you look at the DC streaming service and it's been a disaster the last couple of years. And then HBO with HBO Max, it's like, why would you not gather all your stuff? You know, when you're a kid, you've got toys in the living room and you got toys in your bedroom and you got toys out in the yard and fucking you left toys at little Billy's house down the street. Your toys are supposed to be at your house. So you can play with all the toys that you want whenever you want.
Yep.
Disney needs to look at that. Warner Brothers, HBO, DC, whatever you want to call it. They all need to look at that and say, these people are eventually going to get tired of paying for this when they can't watch the movie that they want to watch, that they should be able to watch because it's supposed to be here. But we signed a contract to make $300,000 or whatever, so fucking Amazon Prime can stream Avengers for 6 weeks. It's dumb. We're paying to watch it where it's at. Allow us the ability to watch it where it's at. Simple as that.
Man, I tell you what, I'm pulling headlines out of my ass left and right here with all this shit, man. So, yeah, I think that you're right. Let all the toys be in the sandbox together. Let me watch the movies I want to watch on those services that I'm paying for. This is pretty interesting. This is just a quick headline, nothing really super special. Obviously not really a big surprise. They've been filming the Hawkeye TV series, and some set photos have dropped, and it reveals that Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye character, Clint Barton family, will be returning for the TV show as well, at least for a couple scenes. So that's pretty exciting. Nothing really too crazy. However, there are two more headlines involving DC Comics stuff. And then I think we need to shift our focus over to that big old Mandalorian episode and get talking on it. So here are the two DC headlines. I'd love to get your hot take on them. First of all, did you hear the Plastic Man news?
I did not.
Okay. Well, Plastic Man is going to be getting his own movie through Warner Brothers. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, but that's not the weird thing. The weird thing is Plastic Man will be reimagined as a female-led movie where Plastic Man could possibly be, not to sound politically incorrect, but Plastic Woman? I mean, I don't know if that's how they're going to market it, but yes, they are going to be gender-bending the Plastic Man character moving forward. I think that has a lot to do with the guy that played him on The Flash. I think he got in trouble for either being like a crazy pro-Trumper or he got fired for sexual harassment or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't he a creep? For some reason, I think he was a creep.
I think he was a creep is what I'm trying to remember here.
I was, so not directly related to Plastic Man or soon to be Plastic Woman. You know, I think we, like, off the air, on the air, you know, amongst our friend group, I think the industry as a whole is moving towards progressiveness in a way that, you know, we're almost to the point where this almost shouldn't even be a conversation. You know, like, anybody should be able to play any character at any time.
1,000%.
But I also think, and we've talked in the past about established versions of characters. Does it necessarily matter? No. Would I cast George Clooney as Blade? No.
There's some things that just don't make sense.
There's things that don't make sense. So I think that if you are going to have fan favorite characters, and I'll focus on, like, be hypersensitive on the, like, the most popular of characters, right?
Sure.
Superman, okay? The most popular superhero of all time. Do we need a woman to play Superman? No, because we have Superwoman and Supergirl, and, you know, there's all these their own characters. We don't necessarily have to reinvent characters to be inclusive when they already have their own characters. Let's flesh those out. You know, a few weeks ago, you and Brandon and I talked about Kamala Khan in the Avengers game. I'm not saying anything bad about the character at all. I'm just saying, poor choice maybe to bring a large audience to a video game. Maybe could have picked somebody else. I totally get what they're doing. Look at Captain Marvel, what they did as far as merchandise and, you know, was it the biggest movie in the franchise? Absolutely not. That wasn't the intention. The intention was to get a smaller audience, get them included, and make a bunch of money off the merch and, you know, shit like that. So it's hard, in 2020, it's hard to say anything without sounding, you know, like you're being inconsiderate or
insensitive to people.
Yeah. Or you're being insensitive. That's the word that I was looking for. It's hard to tiptoe around that. And I'm not necessarily saying that you should or you shouldn't, because obviously, you know, we all should be respectful and considerate of other people. I think the problem and ultimately the point that I'm trying to make is we will continue to have these conversations, and it will continue to be a point of conversation as long as the media continues to say, why should it be Plastic Woman instead of why can't it just be the character? You know what I mean?
Totally.
This actress is playing the role of Plastic Man.
Instead of the headline being Plastic Man reimagined as female. It's like, okay, yes. So fucking what? That's like the Elliot Page news. I think that's awesome. Yes. Elliot Page, you know, revealing he's a transgender human. That's great. You know, more power to him. One thing I love about that is Netflix already went through and changed all of his credits in Umbrella Academy and any of the other works they have of Elliot Page's to reflect that. So as to be cool about it, which I think is really, really sweet and beautiful. But I think we're in this weird situation where I look back to like the early days of this podcast, a couple years before that podcast. And in some situations, I can see how much we've grown in, and not just in the podcast ourselves, but I mean as a country as a whole. I remember the insane, and I mean I'm talking insane backlash over the casting, not over the film itself, over the casting of Michael B. Jordan as Human Torch. The casting itself was black man can't play white character. That should not matter or exist. It doesn't.
It shouldn't.
Okay? And there was a lot of outcry. I think the same thing happened with Perry White in the Superman movie. It, Lawrence Fishburne ended up playing him. People were outraged. Oh, my God, it's the worst thing. But then now there's different representation. Now people look at things differently. You have the opportunity for Miles to get back to that and other characters to come in. So I get what you're saying, how we need to fully move past where we are right now and saying it's a female or male-led or they-led or however you want to say it, a fully inclusive-led cast is to just say this person that exists in the world is playing this character.
Yep.
Hope you guys like what we have to offer. We don't need to make a big deal out of it.
Well, and something we as fans, we forget a lot is, you know, depending on the scenario. Hold on, my camera's out of focus.
You look great, kid.
I don't know why my webcam does this. I get out of focus a lot. But depending on the situation and the parameters, every movie that we watch in theaters, if it's an established script, if it's as long as it's not new material, you know, it is that director and producer and writer, it is their take on whatever it is that we're watching. Unless they're given guidelines by like Marvel or whatever, you know, the Joker film is a perfect example. That is not the version of that character, an established version of that character that we have ever seen before. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
And people loved it. You know, it won awards, blah, blah, blah. Joaquin Phoenix did incredible. That's no different than if Halle Berry were to play fucking Batman instead of Catwoman. Why can't Halle Berry play Catman? They are a artist. They should have the freedom as a human being to play whatever role they are best cast for.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and this takes a kind of a further look back at things, but a classic movie like The Birdcage, which was about the drag scene and inclusivity and all of that, really taking steps and leaps and bounds to put very, very, very high profile actors in that position to tell those stories to tell people it is okay to just be whoever you want to be and create. The point is, the whole point of movies and the whole point of mediums and the whole point of entertainment, you're sitting at home right now, you might not like us because we aren't exactly you. And you don't feel inclusive or the same as we exactly do because we don't all share the same exact experience.
Right.
So, you know, you see a little boy and he looks up and he sees Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. And I'll try to keep my composure as I talk about that. But, like, he sees representation and he can see himself and say, oh, it's not just these guys who look like fucking Superman. It's I can be that person too, and I can save the world and have purpose. And I think that a lot of kids, they get left behind because they aren't told they have purpose. And it's really difficult. So in these mediums, we have to, even as adults, recognize it's not always about what we love. We might hate a movie, but if it includes somebody and gives someone else that good feel, you know, like a great example is the Avengers game. You're right. They could have picked anybody else. They absolutely could have picked anybody but Kamala Khan. But in some ways, somewhere, there are girls who are playing that game who are like, that's literally me on the screen, Dad. I feel that girl. I feel her story. That's what's most important. So I don't know. I just feel like we are in a time where we are noticing the change because we're on the cusp of actual change. Mm-hmm. And you bringing up that we can just start to get to, and we're not quite there yet to the point where we don't have to discuss every time there's an interesting shift in casting, but we're almost there. And that's a pretty cool feeling.
Well, and the sad thing is, you know, I'm going to use a couple words that don't really exist in our society anymore, but a little bit of common sense, right? Okay.
Sure.
Let's just pick any other actor in Hollywood. I'm just going to dig into my brain and Kevin Bacon. Okay. Kevin Bacon. I, as a director, producer, casting director, whatever title you want to give me, you know, and I'm looking through the resumes, right? I've got the portfolios of all the actors that are going to audition for the main character in this movie that I'm doing. Okay. Takes place in Africa and it's about an African person. I'm not going to necessarily say man or woman. Let's just say African person. Okay.
Sure.
They're from whatever. Pick any African country. Not to say they're all the same. Just randomly pick one.
Chad.
And I'm like, oh, Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon is a hell of an actor. Should Kevin Bacon play a natural-born African person?
Depends. Because
it depends.
There are white African people from South Africa. That is a very real thing. Now, if you're talking a dark-complected person,
which I am,
no, he should not. It doesn't make sense. It goes against every sense of common sense.
Mm-hmm. So it would be the same as, you know, all the times that we have been insensitive when someone who is not a native person of North America playing a Native American. That is us being insensitive, you know, and in the industry, we're seeing less and less of that happen. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. We are headed the right direction. How close we are to that, it's hard to say with, I mean, hop on Twitter for 10 minutes and it'll change your mind pretty quick. So it just depends. Hopefully we keep moving in the right direction.
Couldn't have said it better, man. I tell you, here's another step in the right direction for the future of everything. And to stick a little bit on the DC stuff for just one last second, and then we'll finish up here getting into the goody bit of the episode. Not to say the rest of this hasn't been great, but I'm really excited to talk about that shorty boy that we watched this past Friday. It seems like we might be getting this Justice League Zack Snyder cut super soon. Like three to 4 months. Because there was a recent blog post on the future of HBO Max and the unprecedented move for Warner Brothers. Kilar, which is their Warner Media CEO, Jason Kilar, teased that the movie will be debuting way sooner than we, the audience, think. However, there is still work to be done. There were, you know, reshoots were only underway recently, so there's some stuff to be handled. But he says that he would almost put all the chips on the table that this movie will be out in the first half of 2021, which is what we already assumed, but I think even a little bit sooner. I think April is probably what they're shooting for. I think that's a good, solid place. It's enough time. You know, you already have a majority of the movie shot, so all these reshoots are doing is just finishing touches, and then we're there. So, and that's, I'm really excited to see the Snyder Cut, and then to come on here and discuss the Snyder Cut's going to be the bee's knees.
You and Brando and I might have to take a, like, maybe not necessarily even a Sunday. We might have to get together in person, obviously with our social distancing and protective measures in place. But we might have to get together and actually sit down and dive into that one because, you know, as far as the Justice League movie goes, I mean, we've talked about Justice League on this show probably as many times as we've talked about all three of the, or the current Star Wars trilogy, not including Rogue One or Solo. We have discussed the DC, you know, Superman, BVS, Justice League. We have talked about it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to be honest, I I have been so casual and so patient with the Snyder Cut because I was so happy when it got announced. I have been so patient that I didn't expect to see it until Christmas time next year. So if I were to get it like 4th of July next year, or, you know, maybe even September rather than December, I mean, any sooner is like, you know, little extra piece of cake after dinner kind of thing. You know what I mean?
God, just, yeah,
it's a treat. That's what I was looking for.
You are conditioning yourself to not say it's coming out until you know it's coming out, and that's probably a good thing, to not get the anticipation of, oh, it's going to come out in January. It's going to come out in February. No, it's going to come out. And then to just keep getting yourself let down. You're being cautiously optimistic to wait.
Well, and the thing too is I feel like, you know, we praised you know, the studios and the movie industry for redoing Sonic the Hedgehog. We got lucky with that one. I feel like the industry, especially with, you know, how 2020 has gone, I feel like that maybe they're going to have a little bit closer of an ear to the ground as far as what, like, fan expectations and, hey, you said it was going to come out in January. We haven't heard anything. Is it coming out January? And then maybe some certain projects might start to get rushed and push forward a little bit farther than they, or faster than they were supposed to. And I don't want that kind of thing to happen to the Snyder Cut. I want it to be, I want to sit down and watch Zack's vision the way that it was intended. I don't want it to be, tainted or negatively influenced because of us being a little bit impatient. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. If we start to build up our internals of what we have for expectations of this movie and it falls short at all, by default, everybody's going to want to smash this movie because it's already a movie that was almost smashed because of the original cut and the things they did and or did wrong, right, however, indifferent. One thing, I'm really glad you brought up the Sonic thing because I know I just saw it. They're just starting filming of that, right? That's just now.
The second movie is getting just starting to film.
That's amazing. Super excited to see that. But I, you know, yeah, man. Anytime we, as soon as we get that Snyder Cut, I'm gonna be juicing all about it. I hope, very, 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 very hopeful that it not only exceeds our expectation, but surprises us. I feel like Zach had some surprises that maybe now that he has more freedom to do the movie he wants to do, he's going to really shoot for the moon on. And I can't wait to see what that vision might be.
When I think what would truly be the testament of, like, his vision would be, you know, like you and Brando and I, maybe on like a Saturday, we, the three of us, sit down, we watch Justice League, the original, and then record a short little thing, talk about some key moments, and then, you know, that afternoon or possibly the next day or the following week, we do it with the Snyder Cut and then do the same format, ask the same questions, point out the same scenes, and then mash the two together and compare them. Because I think truly this is one of the projects that I have been most excited about for once, you know, because normally I'm the first to say, reshoots, remember what happened to Solo, you know, and complain and moan. And, you know, I've went on record a bunch of times of saying, you know, if there's going to be reshoots, just don't even talk about it. Don't put a bad taste in my mouth, I guess.
Yeah, I love how you did the falling off of Cloud City, like,
But I'm incredibly excited. You know, I think it's truly going to be it's going to be remembered not because of it being the Snyder Cut. I think it'll be remembered because of how great it is and how it truly shines the way that movie should have shined to begin with.
Yeah, and this could also, and we've talked about it a couple times in here, this movie being successful linchpins and hinges on them possibly spawning even more from this movie that was the original plan, which then creates this interesting, like, multiverse within the multiverse thing, and we'll see where that goes. But as far as DC stuff, I don't really have a whole lot left, but I'm ready to get to the juicy steak and potatoes of this bad boy. TY, it was the shortest episode of season two. It was also, maybe, in my opinion, the most impactful Star Wars we have ever experienced. What are your thoughts? Let's dive into Mandalorian season two, episode, was like
14,
six, chapter 14. Yes.
Chapter 14. Yep. So remember a few weeks ago, right? We've got episode one of Mandalorian. And at the end of the episode, we're talking, we're vibing. And I was like, you know what? I just feel fucking Boba Fett's alive, man. Like, look who, see that? I got Boba Fett right behind me.
Oh, yeah. Fetting it up.
Fetting it up. I got fucking helmets. You made me a badass painting. I got all kinds of shit going on. Boba Fett. I felt so validated. You know, I think I said on the episode that I've been arguing with people since like 2002 about Boba Fett making it out of the Sarlacc pit, right?
Well, yeah, either he escaped and gets to live this new life and have a new option, or he rotted inside of that fucking Sarlacc and got shit out.
Mm-hmm. So, which they get digested over 1,000 years. You know, they make sure and tell you that in Jedi. So I felt incredibly validated. You know, it made me, you know, for a while, I actually regretted reading all of the expanded universe, all the legends material, because, you know, I was spoiled as a kid reading that shit because it's some of the best Star Wars stuff ever. You know, it's leaps and bounds better than the shit that we got with the current trilogy. And to see Boba Fett at the end of the movie, to watch Cobb Vanth, you know, just live it up in Boba Fett's armor, it's like, you know what? I'm happy. Even if he was just a cameo, like, no problem. I have been satisfied. You know, you and I have talked at length about how Dave Filoni and with the things that were said in Clone Wars and what was canon, what wasn't canon, you know, Jango and Boba up until Friday weren't Mandalorians anymore, you know, in the canonic.
In the known universe.
In the known universe. Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
And just to quickly interject to say something on the known universe, I do think that's kind of a smart thing they're doing. They are taking a look back at all the material that's ever come out of Star Wars ever. And saying, you know, okay, what is really fucking good? What can we pull from? What are these stories that, like, really resonate? And how can we come back to those ideologies that maybe were only in comic form, or maybe they were only in a novelization form with the crazy lenticular fucking, you know, soft cover fucking front of your book? But, yeah, I think that It was really interesting how everything came into place, and I was showering, getting ready for my day on Friday, and I had my phone on, and I put on The Mandalorian, and I think Brando, the three of us discussed last week, what do we say? Oh, they probably won't go right to Tythos, or I can't even say the word right.
Tython.
Yes, Tython, not Tythos, but they're not going to go to Tython. It'll be like a couple episodes, you know. We'll get there, maybe the last episode of the season or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, it was like 3 seconds into the fucking episode, we were there and shit was popping off and it was happening and we got the most action-packed, literal, insanely well-crafted, just masterpiece, man. It was a masterpiece. Robert Rodriguez directed it, like, oh.
Killed it.
Oh.
So, we're watching Skylar, Ruby, Juno, and I. And I'm like, man, you know, Skylar and I are like kind of chatting a little bit and like, what's going to happen? You know, Ruby's jabbering. And I think like right before what I'm about to say appears, I was like, Ruby, quiet, it's Star Wars time. And she's like, yes, daddy, sorry. And like, not 10 seconds later, you know, Grogu's doing his thing. Mando's doing his thing. We had the cute little jetpack scene, you know, and
riding with the windows down.
Yep, riding with the windows down. I loved it. I heard a sound that is very distinct in Star Wars.
Oh yeah,
there's only one thing that makes this sound.
Only Slave One thing.
Only Slave One thing. You fucking see Slave One, and I like slammed my arms down, and I went, "Oh fuck!" like loud and obnoxious.
I can completely replicate that sentiment. I was in the shower, just like, "What the shit? The fucking Slave One? Tyler's gonna fucking cry." I cry. What's happening? And then I was like, okay, but is that just like a weird flyby? And then it was like, nope, he's landing. Shit is about to get real.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I'm going to take care of something real quick.
You take care of it, man.
Proceed with your spiel. I will be back momentarily.
Sure, yeah. I'll just quickly riff and talk about those first few moments because, you know, it was really interesting. We did in the recap, got some stuff from season one, and you're just like, I'm not really sure why they're showing us that, but okay, it's probably going to be very, very, very – they're really smart with how they do those callbacks in the recaps because they want you to go, oh, that character, fuck, we're going to maybe see them again or we're going to hear about their story further or whatever. So we get the, you know, the Slave One lands and there's this like, what the shit's happening? And they're up on the rock. Mando and Grogu are up on the rock and he's like, we got to go, kid, let's go. And they go. He goes down, and Mando goes down and confronts this dude who we saw in the last episode. We now know is definitely Boba Fett. No questions asked. Some words are exchanged, and essentially he says, "I want that armor." Mando's like, "This is gonna be difficult to get between Mando and Boba, back and forth." But Mando's like, "Hey, this is Beskar. You can't have my armor." He's like, "Not that armor, you dumbass. The armor that you took from Cobb Vanth." Back on Tatooine. It's mine. It's my armor. I want it back, damn it. So they are, you know, guns drawn. He says there's a sniper. It's Fennec. Fennec back from allegedly dying in season one, which we still don't know how that actually happened, how she's still alive. But maybe we'll get – I mean, we saw that, you know, Boba replaced her internals, her intestinal regions with some robotics, which is pretty cool. But, you know – the conversation with Boba and Mando was really nice. The reuniting of Fennec and Mando was really nice. There were some moments that I thought were a little bit strange, though, and I'll touch on this a little bit, but I'm sure T.Y., I'm going to want to touch on that with him, too, because there's the whole, like, put down the jetpack. And sure, he put the jetpack down, but why did he never pick that fucking thing up? And then to top it off, this is one thing that's really confusing. We've seen it where he can control the jetpack with his little wrist guy, and then the jetpack comes back to him. So let me, again, just out of curiosity, say why, when everything is hitting the fan later in the episode, and Boba is slowly walking back up the mountain to go to the top of this tower where Grogu is at, does he not just bleep his fucking jetpack back onto himself and go up there swiftly? It seems like it would have been a much faster option, and I'm not really sure why that happened. But we do know that in this episode, the Razor Crest is bugged. We know that Boba's here and has promised that if he gets the armor, that he'll help protect the child. And this is all, things are starting to come together. And then we get a dropship of troopers. And this is when the episode, in my opinion, really took off. Because there was so many great action shots. And one specific shot I'm going to call out is the shot where the boulder is heading towards the turret. And it takes that turret out like no other. It was like, ah! Just gone. Explodes. Boom. Toast. Like I said, there were just so many cool scenes that I was just really thrilled with how they did and shot him in this episode. I'm not going to get too far ahead, folks. So while we're sitting here waiting on TY, I'm going to take this opportunity to let you fine folks know where you can check out the Journey into Comics podcast, whether you're watching here on Facebook, YouTube, or you're listening on any of the amazing platforms. That's Apple Music, Amazon Music, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, CastBox, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and many others. Make sure to check out Journey into Comics Network. And now that TY is back, TY, let me talk to something. I was just talking to listeners, and I just need to get your thoughts. you have the little moment where there's the, hey, Boba staring down Mando. Mando staring down Boba. They're talking shit. He's got the gun. He says he's got the sniper. It's Fennec up in the fucking way. And then later in the episode, there's a moment, and we'll obviously get there, but like, Boba has to run back up to the temple, to the top of the temple. No jetpack, because he set it down.
Mando has to run up.
Mando, not Boba. I even told them. I was like, I'm going to fuck that up a lot now, because there's two Mandalorians I like, and it's like, messed up. But Mando is going back up to the top of the temple, and we saw a couple episodes ago when he gave away the jetpack, all he had to do is use his little wrist guy, bleep, 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 and the jetpack came back to him. So why is he slow-ass running up this mountain when he knows shit's about to hit the fan, when all he could do is bleep, bleep, bleep the fucking jetpack to himself and then shoot up very fastly? That's the only thing I did not like about this episode. Other than that, I loved it.
Ultimately, it boils down to, you know, if we didn't have drama and plot, then we wouldn't have most of the shit that we like, you know? I thought the same thing initially. And Skylar, you know, she, before I even said anything, she's like, oh my God, no, why is he running? Get your jetpack. Like, my wife knows, you know, that something is wrong here. Man, do I have some shit to say.
Well, please, man, please unload on the audience with the things you have to say. Because listen, this one thing I really love about having you on the show, you're not just a really smart, knowledgeable guy about nerdy stuff in general. You really genuinely love Star Wars, and you know the nitty gritty shit that Nate doesn't know, shit that most people don't know. Like, you really know peeled back layers and layers and layers of the story and where things were originally canonized. So, turning the ball back over to you, the last thing I had really talked about was just the drop ship of the troopers coming in.
Mm-hmm. And that was great.
My favorite of all the different moments of the trooper battling was the fucking giant boulder Fennec pushes and crushed that turret. It was awesome. I was like, even if it's CGI as fuck, they did a good job. It looks so good.
Yeah. Everything, you know, this is the, like, obviously we've seen a lot of stormtroopers in Star Wars. You know, I'll talk about that while we're talking about it. We've seen a lot of stormtroopers in Star Wars. You know, we know what they're doing. You know, they're supposed to be this cohesive, like, well-trained army. In reality, they're people who, the majority of them were, like, afraid of what would happen to them if they didn't do what the Empire said. So they joined the military. Nate, are you still with me?
I am still with you.
Okay. Yeah, lost you there for a second. Anyway.
That was just an advertisement for Game Addicts podcast.
Yeah.
That popped up.
So we see the stormtroopers doing stormtrooper stuff. The boulder was great. You know, the, like, John Wick type sniper stuff was great. Watching unarmored, like, you know, Tusken Raider style Boba Fett with the gaffy stick, like, come on, like, just brutal. And that's if you go back in the lore and you read the books and the comic books and all the bullshit, Boba Fett wasn't just the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. He was fucking ruthless and sadistic. You know, there's a reason Vader fucking points at him and says no disintegrations. And there's a reason that the Mandalorian in season one had a gun that fucking disintegrated people. You know, it's all like, it's all coming together. So we see, you know, Boba Fett, who is a clone of Jango Fett, played by the guy who played Jango Fett, doing a fucking kick-ass job. Just killing it. And we get the, you know, the Dark Troopers, which, bro, I can only be validated so many times before I have a little bit of self-worth, and I have been nothing but validated this season.
Oh, man, they're just fan servicing all over everybody.
Dark Troopers, fucking Mandalorians. Let's hit pause. We talked at length about why Dave Filoni made Jango and Boba Fett canonically not Mandalorians.
Yes.
Unpause. In this episode, they now become canonically Mandalorians because Boba Fett's armor is originally Jango Fett's armor. Jango Fett was a foundling. Okay, hit pause again. There's a comic series called Star Wars Jango Fett Open Seasons. It starts with a character called Jaster Mereel, which is the pattern, well, the original wearer of the armor that Boba Fett has right now. Him rescuing Jango Fett as an orphan.
Whoa.
Which is just on the planet Concord Dawn, which is in season one of The Mandalorian, the way that child looks is almost identical to how Jango Fett looks as a child in this Open Seasons comic series.
Okay.
So Jaster Mereel rescues Jango. Jango's a foundling. Jango fights in the Mandalorian Civil War. All kinds of shit goes down. Death Watch. I won't go at length in that. But the reason that is important, it sets up a lot of the... First of all, it because Jango was a foundling, it makes him and his children and everybody else Mandalorian too. But it's big because Disney, and especially, you know, round of applause for Dave Filoni for continuing to kill it, and Robert Rodriguez for an incredible episode. But it's Disney. This is a big win for us because it's Disney looking at the shit that they made, like you said, picking out the best stuff and saying, you know what? Now it makes sense.
And now not only does it make sense, it fits our narrative to the point where it actually can further their story and not just be a stopping point, but a full continuation.
And it goes to show like how in it for the long game Dave Filoni is, because now it makes sense. Now there is an explanation on why in the Clone Wars TV series, why the governor of Mandalore said that Jango and Boba weren't Mandalorians, that they were just bounty hunters. Or Boba's never mentioned, but Jango Fett is. Because this is when the Death Watch has separated from Mandalore. They're on Concord Dawn. This shit is happening. This is after the Civil War. All the people on Mandalore think that the people, you know, the Death Watch and the people that separated from the main unit, that are all criminals. They're all trash. They don't, of course, they're not going to be like, yes, of course, he's a member of our warrior people. You know, like, it makes sense now.
Man, it's so beautiful how they have been able to course correct, because that's really what this is. It's a course correct. And to briefly mention how on board Filoni is, what is the beauty of it being that they found their Feige? That's what this is, man. They found their fucking Feige.
Let's not forget too, Jon Favreau is incredibly involved.
100%.
And, you know, I think the true and best case scenario for Star Wars moving forward is a Favreau Filoni tandem. Proceed.
No, I absolutely agree that those two helming the ship, and not to just be, you know, pun intended on that, but like them having the option to, like I said, peel it back, watch that Mandalorian gallery stuff on Disney Plus, folks, where they're breaking it down, they're talking to the directors, they're discussing stuff, because Filoni talks about his getting the gig to what made him where he is now. And he was literally just a Star Wars nerd who knew everything about Star Wars. And he thought when he was working for, I don't remember what company it was, somebody was ribbing him. When he was doing Avatar, The Last Airbender, he thought somebody was ribbing him, saying that Lucasfilms or that LucasArts wanted to talk to him. And, you know, they pitched the Clone Wars animated series, not the cartoon, but the actual, like, 3D animated series. And he ended up having a meeting with George Lucas and, you know, was like, oh, that's the only time I'm ever going to talk to George Lucas in my life. You know, was having this big letdown. He was still in the green room sitting. The guy came around the corner. He hadn't even left the building yet. And he's like, George says you got the job. And that 1 second is all the trust that we needed, because he is the herald. Filoni is the herald to say, this is what makes Star Wars great. These are the things that don't make sense. These are the things that George Lucas would have thought was cool if we can't ask him personally. These are the things I know just because I know how he built this universe. This is what's going to work. So nothing but love and props to Filoni. Favreau is also in an incredible position because he has his hand in now Disney's real deep pocketbooks, not only Marvel, but Star Wars as well. So I just love what they're doing. I should just shut up and let you take back over, but I love what they're doing there. Continue.
So in that moment, you know, that scene, there's a lot of shit happening, but Boba Fett shows Din his chain code, which is, you know, by extension, his father's chain code. Some dude on Reddit translated it.
Oh, shit.
So I'm going to read it.
Please.
And the whole reason I brought this Jango Fett Open Seasons comic book up is it's now referenced in this chain code translation. So in the translation, these are the words that were relevant. Foundling took into the year Concord Dawn, which is the planet that Jango Fett lived on. Mentor Jast, which is a reference to Jaster Mereel, the guy who rescued Jango Fett. Father Fett, Boba Fett. So obviously there's a lot, there shouldn't be a lot of meaning here. It's just, it's more fan service, you know. Surely they knew that somebody was going to go through the runes and try and translate that. But, you know, again, it validates that Jaster Mereel was a real character. Jango Fett was a Mandalorian. Boba Fett was a Mandalorian by extension. And how incredible is this change of, not necessarily change of character, but different take on Boba Fett than we've ever seen before. He says, if you give me my armor back, you know, it's entitled to me, but if you give it to me, no harm will come to the child. And in the context that it's originally spoken in, it's, you know, it's foreshadowing, obviously, but it's like, okay, we won't hurt the kid if you give me my stuff. When in reality, and as the episode progresses, it's, we will protect the kid if you give me my stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, go back to season one when everyone was like, yeah, I don't remember the sniper's name. I have talked about it. Yes, Finnick. You know, everyone's like, yeah, that's Boba Fett that comes up out around the desert, and or it's Moff Gideon, and everybody's like, ugh. Well, I'm sorry. I made fun of all you people that said it was possibly Boba Fett because you were right. Because
it was.
You know, we get that little flashback there, which is great, you know. It's not just hands that get replaced with droid parts in Star Wars. It's gut shots too.
The intestine.
But God, seeing, you know, we haven't even got to the Grogu shit yet. We're just talking Mando.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Because the whole time all this Mando Boba shit's happening and these battling the stormtroopers, you got the fucking Halo beacon happening behind you with fucking Baby Yoda, Grogu motherfucker sitting on the rock. What is to come of that? That's the real question. Like, you're Dave Filoni. You're looking, you're like, okay. We've already paid off fan service this, fan service that. What Jedi now can you pull out that's not Ahsoka? It's not going to be Ahsoka that comes back to call.
You don't think so?
No. I think she might come back to help them. She's not back to help Grogu directly and mentor him, because why did she send him away just to chase them down and pick? It doesn't.
She made a mistake.
Well, maybe. But I think more likely, you know, we just saw them confirm that people that you've seen on screen die, maybe don't die. We've seen it many times. We've seen the return of Darth Maul. We've seen the rebirth of Fennec. I'm just going to throw it out there. What about an old-ass Mace Windu?
I don't know. He'd be like 90 years old.
He's also a badass Jedi who doesn't necessarily age how we think he ages, maybe?
He's a human, though.
Oh, he is humanoid. I didn't realize.
Yeah, he's a human. I don't know. I think it'd be tough. It'd have to be some dark side shit because, you know, the Emperor lived so long because of dark side shit.
True.
So I don't, with everybody else, you know, I would love to see Mace Windu on screen again, especially Samuel L. Jackson loved the character. So, you know, you wouldn't have to de-age him or you wouldn't have to age him to make him look older, you know, as Samuel L. Jackson is an older fella now.
I would put a gray-ass beard on him, though.
As much as I would love to see it, I don't know that it's realistic.
Well, then I was just going to say, who then? Who takes that mantle for you that could come back that's even alive in this universe right now? It's the kid with the broom. It's the kid with the fucking broom. Wait, that hasn't happened yet.
It's really tough because if you really wanted to be like edgy, or not necessarily even edgy, but if you really wanted to be clever, you could do Cal Kestis from Jedi Fallen Order. This would be your way of introducing Cal Kestis on a live action scale.
And you've got Cameron McGonigan, who actually plays the role, who would just be able to be his fucking self. Man.
I think that would be the most clever. I think what we're also forgetting about, though, too, is Ahsoka left at the end of Rebels to look for Ezra Bridger and Thrawn. Thrawn has been name dropped in the season, so by extension, Ezra's probably around too. So I would imagine that the Jedi, you know, that Grogu, that's air quotes, the Jedi that Grogu reaches out to, in my opinion, it's got to be Ezra Bridger, because then it allows Filoni to yet again connect another thing that he's already, you know, he's crafted this whole thing. Clone Wars, Rebels, the whole shebang, now Mandalorian.
Yeah, because Ezra's the main, like, the younger Jedi kid that joins for Rebels, right? That's his story?
Yep.
Okay. I've only watched, like, 4 or 5 episodes, but I've loved so far everything I've seen.
Sorry to spoil it a little bit for you. Basically, he sacrifices himself to get rid of Grand Admiral Thrawn. So, we'll see. You know, I there's a lot of, you know, if we're going to stick with the expanded universe content, there's a lot of people that you could pick. Kyle Katarn would be a good one if you're going to do, you know, maybe a little bit more obscure people. If you've never read any of the books related to Kyle Katarn or the Jedi Order stuff, it's top notch. Like, you have to if you're a Star Wars fan. He's like the what's that?
So what about Luke?
Man, I don't know.
He's out there. He's running around. You know,
I know.
I know that, listen, there are rumors and speculation. Will they decanonize that trilogy? Will they keep it? I think the only way to save it is to hard canonize it and find a way to make things within the movie that maybe to us right now don't make sense, make them make more sense. And maybe Filoni can somehow say, okay, so like Luke heard the call from Grogu, showed up, trained him alongside of Ben further, and then who knows? I don't know what the right solution is because I just don't know what they're going to do with the Grogu story. Will we get him growing up to be a hybrid Mando Jedi crossover like Sabine? I'm uncertain.
To be honest, I personally, to touch on the possibility of decanonizing the current trilogy, I would just do that. I think that would be my vote.
Tyler's like, I would delete that one.
We have more top tier Star Wars material in 6 episodes of a TV show than we do 3 full production films.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I've loved this season of Mandalorian. Has knocked it out of the park tenfold to what they built on in that first season.
So I don't know. Through 2 seasons of television, we've had more memorable characters. We've had better plot lines. I mean, it's been better in every way. I don't know how. Like, I know you like the current trilogy a lot more than I do, and you know, and I'm not being malicious about it. It's Star Wars. I love it too, but you can't look at the current trilogy and say, you know what? it's real good.
No, because it's not. Has its flaws. I think it's one of those things that had we seen the payoff of the fearlessness of The Last Jedi instead of the fear of the payoff of The Last Jedi be course corrected in The Rise of Skywalker, we would have had a much more solid movie, a much more solid overall trilogy, because they would have been telling maybe what their initial intent was. A mixture of Carrie Fisher's death and all the other things they had to combat, changing Colin Trevorrow to a different J.J. Abrams eventually taking over.
Man, that Colin Trevorrow script, you know, we talked about it when it got leaked, and with the concept art, like that's the script that we needed. Like, sorry, J.J. Abrams, like Colin Trevorrow should have just made all three movies because
he had a better vision.
He had a better vision than Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams. Like, both of those guys should be forgotten about. Trevorrow's the one who should have made the movie. You know, obviously we don't need to go down that rabbit hole for sure, but one thing that I can say as far as the Grogu plotline,
hey,
plotline, I can tell you this: we're not going to expect what comes next. You know, Filoni and Favreau and all the directors of this season, they have set the precedent that we should not be trying to guess what comes next, because they'll just change it up. You know, I didn't expect to ever see live action Bo-Katan. Who's to say that we don't see live action Sabine in the next episode?
I think that's coming, you know? Actually.
I think it would almost have to.
I'm fairly certain we're going to get Sabine. We might get a couple other surprises. You got to think, this Friday is the penultimate episode of this season, second to last episode. They're really going to be pulling out all the stops. We haven't even actually finished discussing the things within the episode to quickly kind of graze over some of the more important moments. You know, you have obviously the battle with the stormtroopers. Everything's going on. Moff Gideon, high above the sky, has the eye on everything that's going on, decides he's going to send the dark troopers, and that was a moment. And
after blowing up the Razor Crest, don't forget about that.
Razor Crest in peace, for sure. Razor Crest in peace. You know, the Razor Crest gets exploded, which, crazily enough, Boba is just like, you know what? I'm going to go steal my fucking armor from this motherfucker. I don't got time to wait. I need it now. We're in a fight. I need this armor now. And that scene when he comes up from putting his helmet on and just starts going to town on those stormtroopers was incredible. So obviously the stormtroopers decide to retreat. And as they're retreating, he shot them out of the sky. So he now and Mando have both. Or no, Cobb Vanth. Didn't Cobb Vanth use it too? The jetpack rocket?
Yeah, Din doesn't have one.
Poor Din.
It's just the jetpack.
But Boba, he was awesome. We had the whole dark troopers coming down, take the child. The Razor Crest explosion, man, that was a real shocker. Like, I was just like,
well, especially with it's, you know, it just got fixed.
Yeah, but that also means the greatest thing in the world. The next time we're traveling in space is in that Slave One. I mean, we're going to be riding Slave One style around the galaxy, at least to the end of the season. And who knows, maybe what's-her-face in Tatooine can, you know, make him a new Razor Crest or something. Pelimoto or whatever her name is. But let's talk about that last few minutes just for a second here. We see, you know, Moff Gideon has Grogu now, and he's going to, like, check on Grogu, who's in this cell with two stormtroopers. And then we saw how powerful little 50-year-old barely knows what the fuck he's doing Grogu really is. Question. Did they just, in Star Wars canon, tell us in a fucking 30-second shot that Grogu is more powerful than Vader?
I don't... What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. He literally, as a tiny child who barely has any sense of any use of his force powers, solidly and with knowledge of how he was going to utilize it, force choked two stormtroopers out at the same time.
Yeah, but you also, with the last episode, you know, Ahsoka tells Din that, you know, he was trained and he's been hiding his force powers. So
that's true.
I wouldn't say that he's more powerful than Vader. I think it's more revealing, or it's more telling anyway, that, you know, they talked about, Ahsoka talked about Grogu's attachment to Din as a father figure. Now we're seeing why she was concerned, because
it's
Grogu,
cosmic Ghost Rider all over again.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, 4 or 5 episodes, Din gonna take it from you. Fucking Grogu gonna choke you. Grogu gonna choke it out of you.
Who?
And then he tried to force pull the Darksaber from Moff Gideon. So Grogu don't play no shit.
Mm-mm. Man, and that was an awesome scene. Have you ever seen one of these before, my friend?
Nah.
Man, that is so many amazing moments. And then you obviously have the reveal that Mando's upset that the child's lost, and Boba's like, no, we promised nothing would happen to that kid. You gave me my armor. You kept your word. Now let's go get that fucking kid back. And we're kind of assembling like a Mandalorian super team, like the Avengers, essentially. Which means
it's like Ocean's 11.
Well, yeah, because you've got Fennec now, Boba, Mando, Gina Carano's Cara Dune character.
Now officially a Marshal.
Yeah, which is awesome. You might get Greef Karga's that joins the fold. Maybe not. You're going to get Bill Barr's character from last season coming back. They're going to go spring him in favor of helping the overall team. We'll see where that goes, and maybe they won't actually save him, and they'll have to find a different option, and this is just like big swerve.
That'd be more better, gooder. They could have literally picked anybody else besides Bill Burr.
You didn't like Bill Burr's character in that season? I thought he was all right. I liked Clancy Brown better, though. He was the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're on our way to the finale here of Mandalorian, and I can't wait. I'm super jazzed, super pumped, looking forward to whatever they throw at us.
I've tried to stumble through a lot of words and make fancy sentences and do a lot of shit. I truthfully am at a loss for words for how happy this show has made me, and how, you know, how much nostalgia and like childlike wonder I have in relation to the show, and you know how happy it makes me that I'm getting to experience it, you know, obviously with you and everyone else that I'm friends with that loves the show also, but like my wife and my daughter, she loves the show, and she remembers character names and you know, she was sad when the Razor Crest got blew up, and you know, she doesn't call Baby Yoda just Baby Yoda now. She calls him by name. And, you know, Star Wars, we have talked at length about the lasting impact that Star Wars leaves on its fans, and why things like Star Wars and the X-Men and why shit like that is important to, why it should be important to generations of people. And it makes me, this season makes me feel that way more than any other season of television I've ever watched. So, you know, we talk about a lot how we should be a little more thankful as fans. You know, if I didn't mean it before, I definitely mean it now, because this is art in a way that should resonate with Star Wars fans.
They're doing so good. I mean, it's so brilliantly put together. The story that they're telling is great. We're going to see, you know, really what the first little couple, I would say about that. They said this is going to be a 5-season series. So, you know, at this point, we're just before halfway to what the overall story they're trying to tell is, which ultimately is going to end in the showdown between Moff and Mando, apparently. Mm-hmm. Of course, unless I'm wrong, and that happens at the end of this season, which it could. But I will say that to final touches on Star Wars here, a couple weeks ago when the first episode dropped, we got the rumor, will we see the Boba Fett series soon? And I think that, yeah, I think they're probably filming it right now and keeping that shit under wraps.
See, for some reason, I thought that we had, that we were told that it was.
Maybe that like was the thing, that they actually confirmed it. That
yeah, I thought it was confirmed. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. That's possible. That's me just not having the greatest memory on earth. Sorry. Sorry for y'all.
I could be mistaken, too. I was almost positive that it was confirmed, but okay. Either way, hopefully we get it sooner rather than later.
Absolutely agree, my friend. Well, T.Y., what are your final thoughts on this episode before we dive out of here, man?
10 out of 10.
It was a flawless one, man. They did everything perfectly, especially with the way they've set things up leading into this episode, having the Ahsoka episode just before this. Like, you're just firing on all cylinders is the phrase I like to use, and they definitely are doing that. But, you know, once again, I want to thank everybody for checking out Journey into Comics. You guys get us on all the different podcasting platforms. Like I was saying earlier, that's Apple Music, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Podcasts. I might have already said that again once. Amazon Music. There's so many. Just search Journey into Comics Network or go to journeyintocomics.com. That's the home site for the flagship show and all the amazing shows that are on the network, where you can get one feed of amazing, different, awesome shows. Make sure to check us out right here on the Facebook lands on every Sunday whenever we're releasing episodes. You're going to get the live video version before anybody else who's listening right here on Facebook. So we want to thank you so much. If you're watching, please share this thing around. We do appreciate you so much. I think that's going to do it this week, T.Y. Is there anything else to add before we ride out?
No, I'm good.
All right, folks. Well, for Journey into Comics 325, this is the Razor Crest in Peace episode. I've been Nate.
I've been T.Y.
And as always, pop your caps back and fill your brains with shit. Later, guys.